Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome from Ask the Pastor Now. I'm Jim Simmons, and I'm pleased to have you join us tonight for a very exciting reason. Tonight, we continue our very special series of six messages titled The Spirit, The Spirit-Filled Life, and How a Christian Can Live a Spiritual Life in an Unspiritual World. Tonight, we will begin with the first of two lessons dealing with the spiritual life. To begin this evening, we will teach on living by faith. Next week, we will continue on to the six components of the Christian life. Now, without further delay, here is the pastor of Ask the Pastor, author, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, how are you this evening?
Well, very fine, Jim, and I thank you for that gracious and kind introduction. And I certainly join you in taking this opportunity to welcome our listeners to Ask the Pastor Now. It's always a special time to come together to study God's Word. And these weeks that we've been focusing on this, we've done 2 weeks so far, and counting tonight, there'll be four more to go. And what we're looking at is a little different approach for us. We've only done this once before, perhaps twice. And what I mean by that is normally we pick a book of the Bible, and we go verse by verse, actually sentence by sentence. What we're doing this time that's a little different is we are looking at our basic doctrines, what the Word of God has to say about what we believe, because that is the foundation for what we believe, not man's teaching, not just philosophers or anything like that. What we look for is what God has said to us in His Word, and then taking that material, we try to find the best way to apply it in the practical way that we worship Him, get to know Him, share His Word with others, how we face life, how we deal with the challenges that do come. And I assure you, believers are not exempt from the challenges of life. I think sometimes we sort of get the extra measure of it simply because we're the best equipped to handle it. And always remember, this is in the short term. One of the things about eternal life means that we may have difficulties now, but it pales in comparison to eternity. So, I am so thankful you've joined us tonight. I encourage you to have your Bible out, to study, to research and follow along. You know, if you ever find that we're moving off course, if we're not staying faithful to the Word, I want to hear about it. It's important as believers that we keep each of us accounted. We hold each other up in prayer, and likewise, we hold each other accountable to be faithful to God. It is our witness before the world of a holy God. Jim, why don't you get us started, as we refer to it, the right way, by opening us up in prayer tonight.
Certainly. Heavenly Father, we gather tonight both to study Your Word and also to give thanks. Father, we ask for Your clear direction in all that we say or do. But tonight, we mostly just want to thank You. Give, I pray, Dr. Lyons clear direction and the exact words You would have him deliver. It is our desire that You would use this time to do business in our hearts and minds. Father, You know our every hurt, our every need, and our every fear. May we be attentive and good listeners. May we not just hear the Word, but actually put it to use in our daily lives. It's in the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The best thing that ever happened in your life was accepting Jesus Christ. Now learn about the one who saved you and what being saved really means. Ask the Pastor has a great teaching series titled Jesus, Salvation and Eternal Security. The series comes in a convenient binder with 6 compact discs for your personal study. We trust that you'll find these lessons a great blessing. You can gain a better understanding of Jesus' sacrifice, His resurrection, and the salvation, justification, and grace that is available. Order your set at www.rightlions.com. That's www.rightlions.com. Don't delay. Order your set today.
And Jim, as I was listening to that, I realized that I want to remind our listeners, once again, you can go to the website not only at rightlions.com, but you can also arrive there by typing in askthepastornow.com. When you do that, we'll take you to the website. Specifically, we'll take you to the section where we have information about the radio broadcast. Certainly encourage you to do that. Also, wanted to let you know, in the course of the lesson tonight, we will be making reference to a passage, two verses, that we've used that as a basis to really provide a word of encouragement, a word of motivation. For myself, it's something I like to take and use as a constant reassurance of, or focus, if you will, to make certain that I'm trying to walk as best I can by faith and following God. All that will make a little more sense when we get to that part of the lesson. I don't want to go over it twice, but I mention that simply to let you know that if you take the opportunity to go to our website, as we just mentioned, and if you sign up to follow the website, if you sign up to follow this radio program on Blog Talk Radio, if you choose to fill out the registration to receive our newsletter, any three of those combinations, or any one of those three combinations, what will happen is we will have a copy of that as a PDF file emailed back to you. And so by all means, make sure you get your name and email address in there correctly. And that way we'll send that to you just as our way of saying thank you for following us on Blog Talk Radio and certainly being a part of our website. Jim, your thoughts? You've spent some time looking at the website. Anything you care to share before you introduce our lesson for tonight?
Well, I think that there's so much in that website, and I think that if you're hurting, if you're disillusioned, if you have poor self-esteem, I think there are so many areas on the webpage that can just help us in our day-to-day life. And I think you've done a remarkable job of arranging it where it's, for me, user-friendly. Sometimes the spots
Excellent.
Are so busy, and I get confused, but this is laid out in a way that if you don't do this kind of work every day, you're able to just get on that website and look for exactly what you want, and I think you won't be disappointed. Well, I would like Pastor now to introduce the lesson. The lesson is the Spirit, spirituality, and our salvation. God the Holy Spirit, baptism and filling spiritual gifts, the spiritual life, living by faith, the spiritual life, six components of the Christian life, salvation, faith versus works, salvation, election. And over the next 2 weeks, we're going to discuss how to live the Christian life, the spiritual life, living by faith, the process called spiritual formation. Am I right on that, Pastor?
I thank you, Jim. Absolutely. Tonight, we are studying the spiritual life, living by faith. And I think often when we hear that phrase, living by faith, in fact, Jim, your first instinct when you first hear that phrase, living by faith, what comes to mind?
It means, in my mind, to abandon all of our five senses. And I'm glad you asked me because I think I need to have a good answer for that, because living by faith is kind of like walking in the dark, yet you're in the right direction. You know you're in the right direction, but things that would appear incorrect by man's law, I mean, how do you turn the other cheek? How do you forgive somebody that's injured you or caused you pain? And you're living by faith if you can do that, because that's not the way I was raised. That's not the way most of us was raised. So I think you have to abandon the tendency to be human in order to become more Christ-like. How was that for a spontaneous answer, Pastor?
That is excellent, excellent. Just what I was looking for. I think when we first hear the phrase, we take off in just that direction, and that is the right direction. But, again, this is the theological approach we're looking at it. And so when we use the phrase living by faith, there's some additional things tied to it. What you'll notice, though, as we go into them, all of those things come together simply to support what you just described. And so we therefore refer to it as a process. In fact, we call it a process of spiritual formation. So living by faith actually is got components attached to it. And so tonight what we'll do is look at by faith, spiritual formation. We're going to try to answer the question of what it is, or what is it, and why do I need it? Is it biblical? What is my responsibility regarding spiritual formation, living by faith? And, of course, I immediately think of the simple verse, the just shall live by faith. And then finally, we'll ask the question, what is a balanced approach as we look to this issue of living by faith or a spiritual formation? Now, by definition, theologically, spiritual formation is a process of daily transformation into the image of Jesus Christ to become more and more like Jesus Christ in attitudes and actions. And I think that is a very strong statement, but it's also a very good statement, because if you are living by faith, then you're going to find that that is an ongoing daily process. You know, living by faith is not a one-time event. It is an ongoing process, and that's important to understand. So spiritual formation, living by faith, those two items pull together. They're not separate items. They are one. You can't walk by faith, live by faith, and not bring together the spiritual elements of your life, what we would refer to as core values. It's essential. It's not an optional item for a Christian, because either you make this decision to get serious about God, or you will be among the most miserable people on the planet. I know that may seem so odd, because we always hear people talking about that all Christians have the joyous life, Christians have peace and joy and all these things. But, you know, if you only have salvation and don't get a hold of what this really is, this Christian life, this spiritual life of living by faith, all you have is fire insurance. You're not really growing enough to be comfortable around other believers who are trying to walk a life of faith. You know, initially when you get saved, you go to church, you hear the music, you see people's attitudes, it seems exciting. Pretty soon the excitement wanes because of the fact you haven't really connected with all the things that you've gotten a hold of. It's like having a computer and you look at the screen, but you haven't really discovered what software does. You haven't learned all the things that are out there. So it's essential for a Christian. It's not optional. And it is a process. It's not a one-time event. You build on it, you grow with it, and it's God's work in my life. But I do have participation in that process. So don't just sit back saying, well, God's going to do it. Well, God's taking care of you. He's watching over you. He loves you. But if you want to grow, you grow by faith. You grow by exercising that faith and learning more about Him. So you'll be a part of that as well. It does not affect just one part of your life. It affects all of your life. It's not hindered by your background, temperament, life situation, or season of life. It's available right now to all who want and desire it. It's also important to understand that when I talked about some of those little qualifiers in there, you know, this business of being too young, too old, and I hear both excuses. I always think that's funny that both extremes say, well, I'm too young to really commit to this part, or I'm too young to take on that area of ministry, are the same comments I hear from people who say, I'm too old to do it. You know, the reality is we're just a little frightened sometimes to step out by faith. Jim, have you ever encountered that feeling or found others that are throwing little excuses out there to step forward?
I absolutely have. I think one of the things you said is to step out, and when you say I step out in faith, it's like, maybe a young horse when it's born, how unsteady its legs are, and what does it take? You stand for a while, and then you step out, and then you become a runner. So I think one of the things I think you've conjured up in my mind, Pastor, and I think it's easy to go over this mm-hmm. quickly because you're a pastor and you're used to these terms. And I would just question, I'd go back and I would say, I wonder if anybody had this thought when you were saying this. Why do we want to become Christ-like? You know, you and I talk about that. It's just a foregone conclusion. We want to be Christ-like. We know why we want mm-hmm. to. But if you haven't, if you're a new Christian or you haven't accepted Christ yet, why is that desirable? Why would somebody want to be Christ-like?
Okay. That's an
easy question.
Line right off. First, sure it is. For one thing, you know, a person who so loves you that they would be willing to die for you, you can't help but feel a certain kinship to that person right off.
Mm-hmm.
If we have any sense of gratitude or appreciation, you have to sort of fall in love with the person who is willing to take all the weight of your sin just so that you could avoid hell and know something so much better. And then you realize, what has he continued to do for us? When he left this earth after his death and resurrection, he told those who were there at the time, says, I go to prepare a place for you. And he's talking to us too of that. Says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And that where I am. So he's building these mansions. He's building a place where we can be together, to know him, to walk with him. He's involved in our life. You know, he could have just sat up on the throne. We messed up and left us there. Instead, he was willing to sacrifice for us. And because he came to this earth, he experienced everything we went through, everything we are tempted with, everything that we are struggling with. He's been through all that, and yet without mm-hmm. sin. And so the other thing that comes into play is to realize that he doesn't ask us to do any of this alone. He indwells us. He sent his very spirit to indwell within us. And so that we can have this wonderful communication with God the Father, we come in his standard, we come in his authority. He's allowed us to step up to be with his authority, to go to the very throne room of God in prayer, and to share with God what's on our heart, when we're hurting, what we need. All those kind of incredible relationships that we would not know except for him. And at the end of the day, the Bible, it is God's word. God mm-hmm. the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And remember, this Bible says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So when we handle the Word of God, we're handling Christ. It's not hard to want to be like a person who loves you that much. When I spoke a moment ago about spiritual formation, seasons of life, there's so many things out there that could try to hinder us from moving forward. See, keep in mind our enemy, Satan, his demon, the adversary is referred to him. Well, he cannot stop you from going to heaven now. He cannot stop you from being forgiven. So the only thing he can try to do is just mess with you. He wants to make sure you don't have a strong testimony or to know the joy that Jesus brings into mm-hmm. our lives. And so, really, I encourage people to get sort of this mental picture of like an old-fashioned bear trap that's just sitting out there waiting for you to stumble into it. Well, that's our adversary. He's trying to bring that problem in. And so he whispers in our ear, if not him, certainly one of his little demons out there. And he's whispering that you're too young. You know, it's not my gift. Or I'm not on staff at the church. How would I be seeking this incredible life in Christ? And maybe I'm just too old. It's all passed me by. And consequently, in all that process, you feel if you tried to do anything, you'd be stepping into that bear trap I mentioned, and you're just crying out to help. God is faithful, and he's given his word as a tool, as a powerful tool, just so we can get to know him better. He doesn't set himself up on some lofty mountain where we can't get to know him. He's right here walking with us. His spirit is indwelling us. He's given us his word, so we can understand him. You know, those items I was mentioning earlier about those core values of our faith in this area of spiritual formation. There was John Ortberg, Lloyd Peterson, and Justin Pauling put together this list, what they call Pursuing Spiritual Transformation. And this last item on that list is, it's lived out in community not isolation. It finds its expression in loving and serving others. I think that's pretty important. You see, we don't grow in our faith. We don't learn to live by faith, trusting Him for our provision, for our blessings, for our understanding. We don't do that just so we can sit back on the mountaintop and say, "My, isn't God good, and isn't it wonderful how He loves me?" No. We do all that so we can take that and share with others. We share the gospel with people who don't know Him as Savior and Lord. We also try to encourage other believers and be a blessing. Those are the things that spirit formation is, but let's also look at what it is not. And I sort of touched on this a little bit. It's, you know, it's not merely picking out some of sort of a Jesus action and trying to duplicate it. We are wanting to be Christ-like, as we've described, as Jim touched on, but it's not just trying to go through the motions or the actions. Now, frankly, I'd have a little trouble with that myself, Jim. I don't know about you. I mean, you know, I may be able to go ahead and cook up a nice meal, but it's not quite the same thing as just going out and, you know, grabbing a couple of fishes, a couple of loaves, and feeding 5,000 people. I mean, you know, being a Southern boy, I do know how to stretch to something, but I don't know if I could stretch it quite that far. You know, your basic miracles, I think it takes God. What do you think about that?
I think you're exactly right, because I have trouble just feeding a few people. I can't imagine, you know, being able to stay calm when you've got, and I think it was 5,000 just the men. They didn't count the children and the women, right? So pretty large gathering.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, more than one gathering. There's a couple of other occasions where he performs a similar type miracle. You know, and it's not something that we do in our own power. It's God. Make no mistake about it. God is incredible the way He's involved in our lives, especially when we give Him free rein. You know, and it's not following the list of rules and rituals and trying to be more disciplined. You know, it's not even just doing the Ten Commandments. It doesn't take you long to mess up one of those. But it is sort of a guide to start helping get to know Him better, finding the things that are important to God. But it's not being isolated and living the life of a monk. You know, it's sort of funny when I use that phrase about living the life of a monk. I was at a writer's conference and heard a gentleman speak, and he said he had gone to it was basically a retreat run by monks. And what was interesting is in that environment for the time that you're there, once you come in and get checked in and they explain the, sort of the rules and the way everything runs, there's no talking, none at all. It's understood you're not to say anything. And that's part of it, is you're able to just totally be isolated, even though you're around other people and you may be busy, you might rest, you might prepare meals and do whatever is necessary there in this common environment. But you don't actually engage in conversation with other people. He said he had brought a friend with him who was really interested in doing it. It sounded exciting to him. But is it sort of a talkaholic? And so he came in, and the first thing he did when he entered the building was he stopped a monk that was going by, asking him, and said, "Now, this whole process we're going to be engaged in, what's going to go on?" And he doesn't talk to him, just sort of looked a little disgusted. He said, "No, pay attention now. I'm just gotten arrived. I'm this new here. You need to tell me what's going on." And his other friend was saying, "No, let's go up to the reception desk." And meanwhile, he said, so really sort of irritating this poor boy. And finally, the guy just gave up and walked off not saying anything, because he was one of the people who wasn't saying anything. And so the man had great difficulty with this, and he said the gentleman who had invited him come was looking out the window of his room, and he saw the man go out to his car and said, "Well, I guess he decided to leave." And then he noticed he sat in the car. Finally, he went down to see him if he was all right. The man was sitting in the car with his cell phone just talking up a storm. He couldn't handle it any longer. So, you know, spiritual formation is not being the life of a monk. It's not sitting there taking a vow of silence. Sometimes it feels like a vow of poverty, but no, it's not that either.
Right.
It is setting God first. You know, it really is that. So what is it? It is this idea of putting God first, wanting to get to know Him better, and taking the steps to truly live by faith. And then the question that pops up logically after that is, well, then why do I even need it? And, Jim, I shared with you a little sign earlier I came across. I want to share that with our listeners about getting busy.
I love this. It's a sign that says, "I'm so busy,
I don't know if I found a rope or lost my horse.
I mean, that's just a good visual, especially here in Texas.
Yeah.
But I feel that way sometimes. I think we all feel that way sometimes.
I want that for my birthday.
We can be so busy. That
Yeah, I think we can work on that one. Yeah.
Yeah. But don't you feel that way sometimes? Haven't you had times when you are so busy, whether it's work or life or family, you really don't know what was the goal after all? Mm-hmm. Now let's take that attitude and bring it into the church for a moment, because that is an easy thing to experience. You see, you can come to the church to do some work, and there's a lot of good works that can be done, whether it's just cleaning up the building or visiting people and ministering to people who might be shut in or missing people that are having a situation going on in their lives. There's classes that you can take. There's classes that need to be taught. Maybe that's your gift. All kinds of things that are going on. But if you get too busy for people, too busy to care, if you're so busy doing the organizational kind of things and taking care of the process and procedures that you haven't got time when somebody calls to say, can you pray with me, or I've heard about salvation, but what is it? You know, you got too busy at that moment. You're the guy walking around with a rope and trying to figure out what's just happened. So about church, about faith, we can be busy, but don't get so busy that you forget what the primary targets are. Jim, I hear that laughter. What's on your heart there?
Well,
your thoughts.
Pastor, I think because we've known each other for a number of years, and I've got to kind of see behind the curtain what is involved in church life when you are on staff. And it staggers me because, you know, when you're sitting in the audience and you're watching a preacher teach, and then you go home and you fall back into the same routine, you don't stop and think about all that it takes. But I've known you for a number of years, and your schedule is packed with counseling and visitation at the hospitals and trying to, as the Bible says, feed the sheep. And, you know, what comes to mind here is I just sometimes wonder, when you're counseling, how many marriages are on the rocks and how many divorces have happened because we go out and we capture this maiden and we marry her and we're happy, and then I go off to work to build the empire and I neglect her, and then there's a wedge comes between us. And I just wonder, this getting busy, how destructive it's become, because in agricultural times and when you look at history, we've never been as busy as we are today. That's never been historical. So our society, I think, is epidemic proportions now. Am I right about that?
You're very right. In fact, one of the most dangerous places to be in church is crossing the parking lot when the parents are rushing out to, you know, get their children to a rehearsal or a practice or an event or a class or a trip. And that bothers me because I realize, I mean, I want all those things for our kids. I think it's marvelous. But when the parents' whole life revolves around just the immediate needs of the child. And yes, I mean, there's a lot of different ages and children take on more responsibility as they get older. But there's got to be time for the couple as well. You know, I've seen couples that seem so stressed just trying to do everything for the children that their own lives are suffering. Do we put the children first? Yes. But there's a relationship there that the children need to be able to look to, see a foundation that Mom and Dad genuinely love each other, and they set as a priority they're having time as well for each other to encourage. Job's important, but it's not so important that it's allowed to destroy the home. You know, the social activities aren't allowed to override the home. And, you know, maybe the kids have to cut out a program or two if it means that the family will be together more, together as a unit, growing, loving each other. You know, Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, who can know it? One of the things you have to remember, the heart will convince you, I'm doing this because it's so necessary. The kids need me, the committees need me, the groups need me. sometimes we need just to be alone with God. We've got to find a way in spiritual growth to make sure that we allow time for just you, just God, just the husband and wife, just good, balanced friendship, things like that. All those things need to have a harmony that can come together. Otherwise, we put ourselves in spiritual trouble and stress. Now, this whole idea of setting in healthy boundaries, having formations, living by faith, is it, in fact, absolutely biblical? Well, absolutely it is. It's so important to understand. You know, one of my favorite little verses to look at this with is Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Verse 6. Jimmy, have that for us, Andy, 6 and 7.
Yes, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Yeah.
Now those two verses are strong, they're clear, but they're wonderful words that, you know, we take the Greek language, sometimes the Hebrew language in the Old Testament, we bring it into English, and we come pretty much straightforward. This is one of those wonderful little sentences where there's an asterisk in there, and that asterisk doesn't mean look for a footnote. It means that there was a word that was brought in that, you know, there just wasn't a good English word for it. We did the best we can. Well, these two sentences, or this one sentence either, two verses, it really hits home because there's a lot of emotion in here. If you just read through it and, you know, you pick up sort of momentum, you're ready to go on to verse 8, you've missed out. I want to spend just a little time on these two verses. As you have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord. Now let's think about that for a minute. As you have therefore received, so walk ye in him. What we're really saying is, when we say you've therefore received Jesus Christ, in other words, that's already happened in your life. It's established. So, believer, Christian, now it's time to act like it. We need to start using our opportunities. That's what Paul's saying, in essence. As you've therefore received him, Jesus Christ, so walk in him. When he wrote to those believers in Colossae, when he wrote to those churches, and as he's writing to us, because the Word of God is for us, it's not just that we receive Christ, it's time to get serious about it and start acting. And the verse continues, verse 7, rooted, built up in, rooted, to put down the roots, to make a person thoroughly grounded. You know, it reminds me of, you know, I went to school, started college training in Missouri. And it was interesting to me that there was two main types of trees in the area. Of course, there was a lot of variety, but two main ones. The little town where we were studying was a plateau in the mountains. And leading up to that town, when you're driving through the mountains, it's winding curves, very treacherous. And the interesting thing was to see the way these two varieties of trees, the one had a real shallow root. You almost like you hit it pretty solid. Storm comes, those trees went over. There was another group of trees, the ones that had to dig in and hold on because of the rough terrain. They had good, solid roots that went down. They also had roots that went out to sort of intermingle among other trees and lock into place. Storm comes through, hurricane comes through, those trees were rock solid. They did not give. That's what we're talking about here. Rooted. We've got to, and in the body of Christ with other believers, we are connected with God. We stand together with a fellowship that gives an incredible strength. And that word that comes up, as you have been taught, it's didasko. It's to instill a doctrine, to explain. And the nice part is it's a verb there. So the idea of taught, it's just an ongoing, exciting action that's taking place, and I'm learning more about God as I live. That's significant and important. And then a phrase, to be abounding, means to turn out abundantly, preeminent. But what I really like, I found one explanation of the Greek word for it that says to exceed the fixed measure. Now, frankly, if you've lived any time at all as a believer, you've encountered somebody who told you, you can't do that. You can't accomplish that. I remember as a young person one time sharing, you know, and I will go speak, people be careful, listeners, be careful who you share your dreams with. Make sure you're sharing them with a dreamer. Share with somebody who's got some spiritual faith, who can be excited with you, maybe even help you get there. I remember as a young Christian sharing a dream and a vision of what I wanted, I thought God would be leading me to do to someone, and their reaction was, oh, I used to feel that way, I got over it. You know, and I just took the wind out of the sails.
Dash.
So there are people out there that always put a fixed measure out there and said, you can't go that far.
Mm-hmm.
But look at this verse. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith that you've been taught, bounding therein with thanksgiving. In other words, we will be abundant way out there beyond the fixed measure. Just because somebody else says you can't do it, don't believe it, because if God's laid it out there for you, you can do it. So expanding out there, Colossians 2, 6 through 7 can be read this way. Since you've already become a Christian, start acting like it. Use your opportunities. Put down your roots. And be completely grounded about what you believe so you can't be shaken. You have got a solid doctrinal teaching, so exceed every goal, every limitation you find, and be grateful for it. You know, that's what I think Paul was talking about where he says in another place, that always abounding in the Lord, abounding in the love of the Lord. Yeah, I've actually taken that and for myself put it out there as a goal. And let me explain. You know, I've studied a little bit about the brain. And one of the interesting things about the human body is this brain that God has given us and the body He has given us, it's so intricate, so amazing. But you know, the body really relies on the brain to keep it updated about what's going on. In other words, until the brain tells the body that you can't do something, it will assume it can. And by same token, if the brain tells it, oh, sure, we can do that, it's like the body will begin to adjust for whatever weakness. Or it begins compensating. It begins going farther. That's
right.
Why that person who, you know, is constantly beat up emotionally and told you can't, you can't, you can't, usually what person's really saying is, I can't, so I assume you can't. So be careful of those people. What's really happening over time is that person begins to believe they can't. And that's treacherous and sad. But you find this passage we just talked about, you word it in a way that's a positive affirmation because this is coming from God's Word. So, no, I'm not there yet. But what I like to do with Colossians 2, 6, and 7 is read it as a positive affirmation. I've reworded it to make it, you know, all the little nuggets that we just talked about, I put those together in a way that it can reinforce for me what I want to accomplish each and every day. And so for me, it reads like this as a goal. Since I have already become a Christian, I am acting like it. I use my opportunities. I put down roots that honor God. And I am completely grounded in what I believe so that nobody, nothing, no how, no way can shake me. I have a solid doctrinal teaching, and so I exceed every goal or limitation others put in front of me, and I'm grateful to God for it. See, that's not about me, even though there's a bunch of I's in there. It's
mm-hmm.
a simple declaration that I'm going to act on what God said. And I think that's important. And I'll also share with folks that, you know, I've put that material down. Some of you might have been trying to quickly write it down. And if you haven't learned, you can't write as fast as I can talk. You got a ways to go yet. So what I've done is I simply put that down in a little printed form. If it's something you'd like to have a copy of, rather than getting writer's cramp, you know, if you go to our website, if you simply take the time to follow us, if you follow us on the radio program, or if you sign up for the newsletter, I'll send you a copy of that. Not anything about Charles, nothing bragging on me. I want you to take that as a positive affirmation each and every day. This is not name it and claim it time. This is just taking God at His word, what He promised, to try to instill in us an attitude of both gratitude and confidence, not listening to the world, but listening to what God has to say. On a similar note, Jim, do you have Romans 12, 1 and 2? Could you share that with us?
Yes. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Powerful, Pastor.
Isn't that powerful? Absolutely. You know what I really love about that, Jim? That's all given as instruction. We're to do this. Even says, be not conformed to this world, be transformed. You know. And what I love about that, if God gave us an order, with the order, he always gives us the resources. You know, there's a wonderful pastor, Jim Chetler, out of California, and he has a very powerful statement that I've always remembered. It says, where God guides, God provides. And, you know, when I hear those two verses, that's what I think of. You know, you say, well, I do have to sort of go along in this world. No, don't be conformed to this world. God will give you a way because he says you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can do that which is good and acceptable, the perfect will of God. If it wasn't attainable, God would not have given it as an order. It's not a recommendation. Continuing along that thought, Hebrews 5:14. Jim, again, you have that handy?
Yes, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Now, Jim, since that word exercise is one as a rule I try to avoid, I'll defer that to you. You're a great runner. You know, you go the distance, quite literally. Now, tell me something. If you're going to go the distance, how important is exercise?
It is vital. You know, you were saying earlier how your mind will overcome what your body, because as you know, I've shared with you, when you run great distance, your body is telling you, you need to stop. You're not built for this. Then Satan comes in and he says, you'll never accomplish this. And as you've taught us, Pastor, it's that prize at the end of that race that gives you the, you know, as long as you keep that in your mind, somehow the mind overcomes and tells the body, I know it hurts, but it's only going to be for a little while. You're going to have that, in my case, a mug and a T-shirt. But, this exercise, if you don't exercise, your body's not going to be in any condition to go the distance. And I was thinking earlier, you were talking, you told us that we need to renew our minds. And tell me if this is on track. I think of this as week before last, I think we actually talked about the Spirit filling us. And I remember making a comment and where before I can fill up a vessel or a canister, it's got to be empty, or it's got to have enough room for me to put whatever I'm trying to put in there. And so when you're talking about renewing your mind, I'm thinking about taking all of man's thoughts and ideas out and putting God's in. Am I on target there?
You are, once again, very much on target. You know, if you notice the way this verse even starts out, verse 14 says, but strong meat belongs to them that are full age. You know, that doesn't mean that young people get to have pablum and the rest of us get the steaks. It means that as you mature in your faith, you know, then you're going to get into the deeper things of God, and it's going to matter. And that's important. And those deeper things are intended to be used. They're not intended just to make you sit around feeling very pious about yourself. Mm-hmm. I love that phrase that comes in there. To them that are full age, comma, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, of discerning between both good and evil. In other words, exercise your faith. Use what God has given you. You know, I think sometimes a person who feels like, well, I see other people with more gifts, well, I want to have more gifts. You know, for goodness sakes, I mean, use what you've got. Why should God give you more if you're not using what you got?
Right.
He gives us each 24 hours a day. How are we going to find a way to give it back to him and use it to his glory? The ability to communicate in whatever way that God has given you, are you using it to its fullest? Because if you have, you're going to have an exercise that allows you to discern both good and evil. You'll have understanding. So again, what is it? Why do I need it? Is it biblical? The next area to consider is, what's my responsibility in this whole process? Where does all that come into play? Well, again, I remind you, as far as your responsibility, it's not in your own strength, not in your power. God makes us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ as we are willing to, living by faith, the spiritual life, getting more into God, yielding our will to His, reading His Word, you know, spending time in His Word. It is incredibly important, a process, and we are actively involved. Even though God's doing the work, we're the ones who are involved in the process. 1 Timothy 4:7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. We're back to the exercise again. It's this idea, don't listen to all the old stories and all the ramblings. Find out what God says. Get into His Word for yourself and understand His truth. Philippians chapter 2, 12 and 13. Jim, you got verse 12 handy?
Yes. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Now, there's a little phrase in there, work out your own salvation. People get so confused and off course with that. Here's Paul writing to the Philippians. He's got this great relationship with them. They've always made him so proud because he's had some people he's had to write to who keep getting off course. But the Philippians, even when he's not there, they're still staying strong. And he's encouraging, work out your own salvation. Comes from a little Greek word, katergazomai. It's one of those translated words, transliterated words, because, again, this doesn't have a good English equivalent. And it means to fashion or render one, to be fit for something. So in other words, you've got salvation, but now what he's suggesting by God's grace that you do is with fear and trembling, recognizing what you got a hold of, just how big God is and how big the blessing he's put into your life as a born-again believer, start working out just what that means for yourself. Begin to understand it. That's what we mean by work out your own salvation. Begin to work out for yourself and understand just what God can do in your life. And that's why we go on into verse 13, for it's God which worketh in you both to do His will and to do of His good pleasure. So in other words, God can use you based on how much you're willing to yield back to Him. That free will kicks in there, and He's going to allow you to have a choice about will you be blessed or will you hold back and miss out. You know, there's an intentional and disciplined way of going at this, but there's also a danger to fall into sort of two extremes. One is legalism. I'm probably more comfortable, I hate to say comfortable, but maybe familiar with that. Because as a young believer, that was my weakness. That's where I fell into. It would be real easy for me to criticize. I'm saying, like, line for line, this is what God said He's going to do. Anybody who's not doing that's in a heap of trouble. That was my attitude, you know. And mm-hmm. It's real easy to believe that and suddenly feel like you am somebody, you know. Well, we are His child, but that doesn't make us bigger and better than every other Christian. No, we need to have some humility and understanding and compassion. Another little phrase you'll hear is hully gully. It's sort of funny. There was actually a song written, you know, back in the 50s about that. And the song simply talks about everybody doing sort of their own thing. And hully gully is sort of like that. It's feelings. And I think that's where they got the expression from for the song. But from a theology standpoint, legalism is just a letter of the law. You know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to find every little instruction, and I'm going to consider myself the standard of what real Christians are. Then hully gully sort of goes the other way. I said, if I feel like doing it, I'll do it. Otherwise, I'm not going to worry about it. In other words, the Bible says that I should study His Word and get into the Word, that I might know Him, that I won't sin against Him, things like that. And we sort of take the feeling like, well, I really don't feel like reading the Bible today. I read it yesterday. It's a little tired today. I'll just sort of rest.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't work like that. You know, it says, you know, I know I have a neighbor who's shut in and they're tired, and I could take some food over there and help them out. But, you know, it's sort of chilly out. I think I'll just stay in today. No, I mean, God has put some things on your heart to do them. Do them. It's not a question of do you feel like being obedient? Do you feel like getting to know God better? No, it really is living by faith. It means exercising your faith and living up to the goals, the dreams, the ambitions that God puts out there. And then, you know, what is it do it? Is it biblical? Yes. Is it my responsibility? Sure is. What is the balanced approach? Well, we take all the things we've been talking about and we start to bring it together to explain the balanced approach. And really, those two extremes we talked about, you always already got a little taste of the answer. And that is, first of all, don't fall into those two extremes of just waiting for the feeling or maybe just doing the letter of the law. Instead, you know, balance, you've sort of got a left and right hand, and you're going to realize that on the one hand, the Lord transforms us. He brings us into this spiritual formation. He allows us to know faith and grace and mercy, kindness and loving kindness. On the other hand, we don't have to be conformed to this world. In fact, he told us don't be conformed to this world. So while the Lord's doing the transforming, we're also being advised, by the way, don't fall into the trap of being conformed to the world. And you know, I think that means that perhaps we're rather pliable in his hands. We're growing, we're changing. And if we are, we want to stay close enough to him that we sort of mirror him and not mirror the world. You know, we're going to have Bible study. Well, we get to set the amount of time we do it, when we're going to do it. But God is the one we're trusting to keep working in us. So we set the time of how much time we'll devote to God and how much time we'll be too busy for God. And the time that we're working on him is the time that he can work in us. So there's, again, on one hand, he's working on us. On the other hand, he's giving us a free will to decide whether we'll be faithful to grow in him. On the one hand, God leads us. He leads us beside the still water. He shows us mercy, grace, loving kindness. On the other hand, God never forces us into a situation. Jim, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I was just thinking when you were explaining this that as we go out into the world every day and Satan tempts us and even God tests us, and I thought about God testing us. And he doesn't test us to see what we're going to do. He already knows, right?
Right.
So when he tests us, whose benefit is it for? It's for mine. And I can't tell you how many times I blow it. And I know better. And I could have just been out of studying the Bible that morning and climbed up on the freeway. And there goes all my training and learning right out the window, and it just instantly brings a smile to my face. I shake my head and I said, Lord, it really sunk in deep, didn't it? So it's amazing.
Yeah, see, that's
how
the thing. We're learning.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're so right, Jim. I mean, those events allow us to learn. He doesn't set us up for failure. He sets us up for success. And he's giving us a chance to learn, you know. One of the things that we would want to achieve would be Bible study. So, you know, you have to ask the question, is Bible study important? Do you really think of it that way? Let me ask you something, Jim. Do you have lunch?
Yes, I do. I think it's important.
Okay. See, I didn't think it was that tough. You think that's important. And do you have a particular time you try to have lunch?
I do. I try to go down at 11:30 before the crowd.
So in other words, the things that are important to us, like eating, we've got a time we set aside and we try to make sure we eat.
Mm-hmm.
If we really believe that God's Word is special and that Bible study is special, I ask the question, when do you have Bible study? Is it just sort of like, well, if I have a chance today, I'll grab a verse. You know, that's sort of like swinging by the snack machine and getting junk food. You know, here's one. Jesus wept. Okay, I'm good to go. No.
Yeah.
You know, if it's important, then set a time for it. Make it a part of your life. Have a set time. You know, have a quiet place where you're not going to be interrupted. But I think something very important, too, have a silent phone so that it's not ringing or you're not listening for it. In fact, I'll take it a step further. You know, you're going to have a special place because it's something about knowing that's the place where you meet God, but have a scheduled time. Put it on your calendar. You know, it's amazing. Anybody can ring your phone and you'll make an appointment with them, and God gets the leftover moments. kind of just blocking him in there. You know, for me, that has to be really early because I don't want the distractions of the day interrupting it. I give him first slot. I recommend the same for folks. Now, I know some people, they're night people, they get their second wind in the evening, and that's when they can have their best time with God. You know how you respond to this day and to the schedule. But by all means, make God a priority in your life. And part of making him a priority is to have that balanced approach to doing your Bible study. And so this is a little unusual. I'm going to give our listeners homework this week. Don't panic. It's safe. It's easy. And it's even a blessing. You like that?
I do. That's new.
Jim, our listeners this week. And you too. Yeah. Set a time. If you haven't done it before, set a time. And set a place. Know when, know where, and just start off with 10 minutes. You know, you're going to find that you're going to get hungry for time with God, and that time's going to grow. But if you haven't done it before consistently, and consistently doesn't mean Monday and again next Thursday and maybe 2 weeks from now when you think of it again. No, every day, find that special time, a special place, carve out 10 minutes just to read his word and, you know, take it easy and, you know, come on, let's be honest. This is homework designed to help you get closer to God and be twice blessed. So I don't want to hear next week, no, the dog ate my quiet time, okay? he took your minutes. No, don't blame it on the dog or even the cat for that matter. They get a good rap sometimes. But that's your assignment. Now, y'all be happy to know we won't be testing you, but I would love it if you'd send us an email and let us know. And you know, you can send that to BTR at askthepastornow.com and just let us know how it worked for you. And if you just commit to doing that on a daily basis, again, just say, yes, I'm going to do that. You're not doing it for me. You're not doing it for Jim. You're doing it for yourself to get closer to God. And I think that's so important. Again, I want to remind you to, you know, sign up for the newsletter, follow us on the website and on Blog Talk, and just send us an email about what's going on as you start your quiet time, and I'll send you out that little reference on my Colossians 2, 6, and 7 goal. Jim, you want to take a moment and wrap up, because once again, the time has flown by.
I can't believe it. Well, Pastor, I think it's always a great idea to guide folks to what God's Word says, just like you do all the time. And I would just like to point out Romans chapter 10, verse 9, in case you don't know whether you're saved or whether you have never stepped out and asked Jesus Christ into your life, here's how you do it. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And he goes on in the 10th verse and says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I just thought if you haven't accepted Christ, Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. Pastor?
And, of course, once again, that information is available on the website. So by all means, feel free to go there and spend time with that information. Inviting you again next week to join us as we go over six components of the Christian life. So once again, thank you for joining us. And Jim, my special thanks to you for being with us this evening and being such a blessing. Good night, Jim.
Thank you, Pastor. Good night, Pastor. Thank you for teaching us.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.